The word of God given to us today is Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Please turn to page 1 of the Old Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Amen. An online research agency surveyed 5,000 people about their New Year's wishes of 2023. Looking at the rankings, third place was happiness, second place was financial freedom, and first place was health. Other wishes included employment, traveling, achieving one's goal, an ordinary life, success, economic stability, weight control, and national stability. As we spend the last Sunday of the year at church, many people may have already purchased a New Year's diary and written down their goals and wishes for 2024, and some may have written down their prayer topics as well. In particular, those with a strong J in their MBTI type may have already made a year's worth of plans. Also, as you look back on this year, some people will have achieved their goals and ended the year with joy and gratitude, while others, on the other hand, will have ended the year with a sad and empty heart because they did not achieve what they wanted, and they will once again make a bucket list and prepare for next year. But can our lives really become rich and satisfying if we make wishes, goals, and bucket lists, work hard, and achieve them? On the dark side of achievement, aren't we living such an unbalanced life, sometimes sacrificing our families, sacrificing our health, and sacrificing our daily lives to achieve our goals, and living the loneliest of lives? Aren't you walking down a path in life where you will collapse with greater pain than anyone else when your goal is frustrated at some point? Also, wasn't it a life of satisfaction and happiness of others that you've been forced to live because you couldn't reject it even though it was a goal that was instilled by others? In our lives, we feel momentarily satisfied through goals and achievements. But in reality, there are times when we must pass the threshold of life's futility and deep despair. Even aside from the dark side of these achievements, the year 2023 will be remembered by some as sadness and painful memories. Some of you may have felt the sadness of losing a loved one, being hurt by those you trusted, or suffering from a relationship that turned distant. What kind of year was 2023, especially for us as Christians? Was it a year that brought you closer to God? Was it a year that broke the passive attitude of faith that stemmed from the COVID pandemic? Or on the contrary, have you not turned distant in your relationship with God? What about our community? Aren't you living day after day resigned to the thought that your family, company, and community are not getting better, but rather seem to have no hope? Even as we look toward 2024, as we get older, our expectations for new leaders and people are fading. And our expectations that the world will dramatically change or improve are also disappearing. Aren't you living a life where you adapt to reality, thinking that you just go with how the world is going along? Is there anyone sitting with the pain and sadness of 2023 and no expectations for the coming year? So, what should we do? Today's passage starts with the earth was formless. In Genesis 1 verse 1, God created the materials to create heaven and earth, space, earth, and the world. In scientific language, it can be said to be elements made up of atoms and substances made up of those elements. Among them, there is earth, and the state of this earth is recorded as formless. Here, the word formless is derived from the Hebrew term tohu, which means formlessness, emptiness. It refers to a state in which there was land and materials, but no living creatures or shapes of any kind. The word empty that follows is the word pohu, and this word also contains the meaning of emptiness, wasteland. That the earth is formless and empty means that God created matter, but the matter did not have any form and existed like an empty wasteland. It represents the first appearance of the universe and the earth, which did not have order. We know from chapter 1 of Genesis that the world will be beautifully transformed by the order given by God and the power of the Word. However, the earth in this passage is still an empty wasteland. This empty wasteland is not limited to the material world. There are times in human life when we experience an empty wasteland. Such was the life of Naomi in the book of Ruth. She left Bethlehem with her beloved husband and two sons to escape the famine and went to Moab in search of food. But in the end, her husband and two sons died, and only her two daughters-in-law were left. On the way back to her hometown, her daughter-in-law Ruth followed her mother-in-law until the end. But Naomi's life was like an empty wasteland. So Naomi asked that people not call her Naomi, which means joy, but to call her Mara, which means bitterness, pain. What about our lives? Don't you feel like the places you are at is an empty wasteland because your loved ones, friends, and acquaintances have passed away in unexpected events or due to illness? Aren't you living like you're standing alone under a gray sky, secretly crying all night long? At one time, you were referred to as an icon of success and advancement at your company or workplace, but don't you feel like your life is empty day by day because you're under pressure to retire, or your self-esteem has been stripped naked after retirement? You thought that your child was the most precious, best child in the world, and that he or she would grow up to be that golden child, but it turns out that as they grow older, they don't listen to you and even left their lives of faith and became distant. Doesn't your family feel like an empty wasteland? Aren't there people who attend church, but for them, their encounter with the Lord remains a distant memory, and they come to Sunday service without deep fellowship with God, like a couple that do not have meaningful communication? You've never been to a local hospital in your entire life, but after unexpectedly contracting an illness, isn't the place where you have to undergo surgery and treatment, the place of recovery, seem like an empty wasteland of life? As we walk the path of life, there are times like There are times when, like Naomi, we encounter the empty wasteland of life. In a wasteland like this, there are times when no person, material, friend, or even family can save us from that wasteland. What shall we do then? It says in today's passage that darkness was over the surface of the deep. Your darkness is the word hoshek, which means darkness. Darkness means absence of light. This is the darkness that serves as the background for the light that will be created in verse 3. However, it is said that this darkness is above the deep. The word deep here is the word tehum, which refers to deep water. This means that the world was surrounded by complete darkness without any light or life. There are times in our lives when there is no light, like deep, dark water. For example, it is a time when you feel that you are not even given the opportunities in life that are commonly provided to others. Sometimes what seems natural to some feels too difficult for us. At that time, we feel miserable and experience frustration and anger. Some people have parents who are more financially well off and are given better academic opportunities, opportunities for achievement, and opportunities for challenges, while for others, opportunities are a luxury, and young people are driven to the front line, making a living like a car that does not have reverse gear. Some people live in Seoul and prepare for employment with the help and financial support of their parents, but there are also young people who work part-time alone and use all their savings to cover monthly rent and living expenses. For some, having a child is easy and natural, but for others, it is a miracle. And there are those who anxiously pray for their child to grow healthy in the womb for 10 months. For some, getting married and living a happy married life may seem very natural. But for others, there are times when maintaining a marriage is not easy due to a spouse's infidelity, conflict, mental difficulties, and financial deficiencies. Looking at the continuously rising real estate prices and the overheated stock market, some may be afraid that their efforts to buy a house and raise seed money was in vain. As with the encouragement of those around them, they saved up every penny to buy a house and invested in stocks, only to see their relationship with their spouse strained as they face this pressure of higher interest rates and the falling value of their purchased home and stocks. When you encounter these moments in life, you experience despair, helplessness, and deep discouragement, as if you are drowning in the dark. What can we do in this situation? This is the last part of verse 2. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. Here, the face of the water tells us that God created water, as mentioned earlier. As you know, water has the molecular formula of H2O. It consists of two hydrogen molecules and one oxygen molecule. It is no exaggeration to say that we live with water. Water makes up about 70% of our body, and we cannot live without it, as we drink water, wash ourselves, wash our clothes, and wash our dishes every day. As a result, we take water for granted and cannot find it fascinating, because we think it was there from the beginning. However, we should not take water for granted. It's like the parents' role in taking care of household chores. We don't know, under usual circumstances, but an important role they play. As a child, we didn't give much thought to how clothes got clean, how the refrigerator was always full of food, and how the house was clean and the dishes washed. When people go to the military or start living alone, they realize that these things were not a given. The same goes for water. The boiling temperature of water is 100 degrees Celsius. This is very high compared to other liquids. This is because oxygen and hydrogen atoms are well bonded, and it takes a lot of energy to break them and turn into gas. So, since our body is made up of water, it is very helpful in maintaining our body temperature. Due to this principle, water has the effect of controlling the temperature not only of our bodies, but of the entire earth. In addition, when liquid becomes a solid as temperature falls, the distance between the molecules becomes closer, so the volume decreases. However, when water turns into ice, its volume increases and it floats in water. As a result, creatures living in the water can live peacefully under the ice without being attacked by ice falling from above. Additionally, water has very strong surface tension. This surface tension of water allows plants to easily transfer moisture absorbed from the roots up to the leaves and stems. Additionally, water has both yin and yang electrical properties, so it can easily dissolve other substances. As a result, water absorbs the nutrients our body needs, transports them to parts of the body, and expels unnecessary waste out of the body. Because water plays an absolute role in the birth and maintenance of life, space scientists who search for life in space first try to find out whether there is water on other planets. However, for various reasons, it is difficult to find a planet where water exists in a liquid state, like on the Earth's surface. In this way, water itself is an amazing blessing and has amazing functions and effects. I pray that when you leave today's service, you can feel God's love every time you drink a glass of water, wash your hands, wash your clothes, grow a plant, or do the dishes. However, today's passage does not stop at simply creating water, but says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Here, the Spirit of God means the Holy Spirit. So, what does it mean to hover? The word Rahav was used for this word, which means to soar. This expression is also used in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. Let me read the verse. "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft." Hover is used in this verse. This is a word used when a baby eagle falls out of the nest and struggles to fly and falls to the ground. And the mother eagle flaps her wings to receive her baby. Today's passage shows how God, in the early days of the earth's formation, created space and matter with love and created water. And God, the Holy Spirit, incubated it like an egg and created its function of life. The early earth was not only imperfect, but also had to undergo rapid changes. That is why God prepared for the birth of life through special care. The Holy Spirit, who is the Trinity and the Spirit of God, is thus the Spirit of creation. The Holy Spirit does not only create the universe, He also renews the inner self of man, that is, the soul. This can be called rebirth. Nicodemus, who came to see Jesus and heard about rebirth, was surprised and asked how a person could go into and out of his mother's womb. That's how mysterious it is for a person to be reborn. This Due to our wickedness, our souls have become factories of sin. Everything we think, say, and do is under the influence of sin. The starting point is wrong in everything I do for my own satisfaction, joy, and benefit, rather than serving God as my King and Master. It is like if you make a false start in swimming or running, all subsequent movements become meaningless, no matter how hard you run or swim. Therefore, our mastership must change and our starting point must change. That is rebirth. The life that I used to live for my own satisfaction, my own benefit, and my success becomes a life that centers on God. This amazing change came to me during the winter break of my first year in college. In middle school, I was a good student. I was class president for 3 years and only spent time at church, school, the sports ground, and home. I was trained to live like this under my father, who headed a small church. I read the Bible every day, prayed early in the morning, and served as a teacher. Then a delinquent student in my class tried to rob me of money during recess, and a fight ensued. In the end, it got into a fist fight, and it did not end at the end of recess. So the student told me to come to the hill behind the school so we could have another round after school. I thought it would just be the two of us, so I went, but found 12 senior students waiting for me. I was called to their hideout. It was already too late to come down, so I will leave the rest to your imagination. On the way home with a bloody nose and my clothes a mess, my ego fell apart, and I felt a deep sense of emptiness and anger. At that time, my heart was like an empty wasteland and deep water in the dark. I had lived righteously, only to see this result. So why should I trust in a God who couldn't even protect me? I couldn't find the answer to that. After that, for 3 years in high school, I went through a period of wandering in my life. My body was at church, but my mind was a cold, empty wasteland where nothing could grow. Then during my first year of college, God sent the Holy Spirit to me, thawing my frozen heart little by little and allowing me to face my sin and the love of the cross. I made a vow to become a pastor who conveys God's true intentions to people who, like me, misunderstood God and are wondering. All of this was the result of the Holy Spirit moving through my empty and dark heart and life. At the end of the year 2023, does it feel like your life is like an empty wasteland, like deep water where not a single ray of light comes in? It's okay. If the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, in our hearts, in our broken families, in our seemingly broken families, we can have hope. Do you feel like you're trying to fly on your own, only to hit your limit and fall from a cliff? It's okay. If the Holy Spirit of God moves in our lives, He will fly to us, carry us on His wings, and give us the strength and opportunity to live again. No matter how difficult this year was, even if there was no hope, even if you sigh thinking you don't know how to face next year, we cannot. But I sincerely pray that you move forward, believing that God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of creation, gives us the strength, ability, and wisdom to live here on this earth. Then we will be able to overcome deep despair, discouragement, and helplessness with the help of the Holy Spirit, and we will sing a song of victory with the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the year 2023 will be remembered as a portrait of sadness for some, and a year marred by loss and heartache for others. Also, those who achieve their goals and live with passion may be suffering from a dark side behind the sense of accomplishment, and may be comforted by the fact that their sense of loss has been postponed. In some ways, we confess that our lives apart from God are like an empty wasteland and deep, dark waters before the order of creation was given. However, just as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of creation, moves this earth and is with us with the power of life, we hope that you will come to those who have no hope and strength to live and move them and hold on to them so that you provide the embrace of a mother eagle to those who fall from a cliff as they could not fly with their own strength. Also, if there are people who have given up due to broken relationships and pain stemming from family and communities, allow them to be changed into lives that pray and hope for the work of the Holy Spirit, anticipating that wasteland-like spaces will be transformed into new life, power, and grace through the movement of the Holy Spirit. So let us not end 2023 with despair and fear, but please help us, Lord, to be your people who look at 2024 with the eyes of faith and new hope. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.